X11. Scientific obstetrics, giving birth to the idea.
Number 1A.
I would like first to talk about scientific obstetrics. The great question that every student of Christian Science asks is, how can I progress most rapidly in the understanding of Christian Science? The question that Mrs. Eddy asked also in recapitulation, and her first answer, but not the whole answer, her first answer is, study the letter and imbibe the spirit. Now, to study the letter is something that we have been contemplating quite a lot, especially when you think of last week's work. We have been investigating thoroughly the letter, and therefore this is one of the first steps to do that. We have the exact letter, the absolute letter, the reliable letter, not the smattering sense of the letter. But the letter alone is not sufficient. The danger is always that if one is interested in Christian Science in a study way, that therefore investigating the letter, that we try to approach the subject with the human mind. Naturally, approaching the subject of Christian Science with the human mind, with the human intellect, is all right as a first initial step, but actually we know that it is the mind of Christ that reveals to us the inner truth of Christian Science. It is therefore the spirit really that must be cultured in order that the letter does not become the dry letter and the killing letter, so that the letter becomes alive and remains alive. Therefore, Mrs. Eddy's admonition, study the letter, but also imbibe the spirit. Now, many students then will say, well, how can I imbibe the spirit? How shall I go about? What is it that enables me to imbibe the spirit? Just stating that you should imbibe the spirit naturally doesn't lead very far. And we must see that there is a method that would allow us to combine the letter with the spirit. Therefore, I would like to investigate the spirit of Christian Science through that wonderful section that Mrs. Eddy gives on scientific obstetrics. Namely, that we see that everything that we know of reality must be really the birth of spirit, a spiritual birth, and not a human intellect, a human knowing, a human investigation with the good mental intellect. The question of birth should really be a question that we should consider very earnestly. Because we know, in general, people are interested in the opposite question, namely death. They are looking forward into the future, and they know that somehow they have to meet that question called death, and therefore are very much engaged in finding a good answer and a true answer and a satisfactory answer for this experience that is called death, and which seems to be irresistibly facing every one of us. But facing the question of death is really secondary, because there would be no death without birth. Therefore, if we want really to handle the question of death, we first should handle the question of birth. Without being born into matter, we would not have to die out of matter. Therefore, the right apprehension of what birth is absolutely necessary. And if we can handle birth, we have handled death. Therefore, I would say rather consider more earnestly the true sense of birth than to query about what will happen at the incident of death. Mrs. Eddy has made once a statement which reads that mankind has reached his last enemy, birth, and knows it not. She considers the last enemy, the second death, really birth. If we can handle birth, we have handled death. If we can handle birth and see that we have never been born into matter, then we don't have to handle the question that we die in matter. So, this most important subject of birth is the central point of this evening class, and birth has been always through religious history one of the great concern and of greatest magnitude. Just think about Christianity, all that has started with the birth, with the virgin birth. Therefore, what we should see is that there would have been no Jesus without a Mary. Therefore, that super important for Christianity is not so much Jesus as that consciousness of a Mary, the Mary consciousness that could give birth to a saving idea. We know that Jesus was a natural scientist. Perhaps I just quote quickly from retrospection what Mrs. Eddy said. In this regard, Jesus of Nazareth was a natural and divine scientist. He was a Christian scientist who needed no discovery of the signs of being in order to rebuke the evidence. And then comes the important statement which he makes, But to one born of the flesh, however, divine science must be a discovery. Divine science must be a discovery. How? And she says, woman must give it birth. You can see, it takes the womanhood sense within us to give birth to divine science. And therefore our child is divine science. If we can rebirth ourselves as an idea of divine science instead of a mortal, then we naturally solve not only the question of true birth, but then naturally we also have resolved the question of death. Because if we rebirth ourselves as divine science and no more as a mortal, then we do not face death, because divine science never dies. We would never have a sense that divine science could die. So, can you see the magnitude of the problem to really understand the true meaning of birth? Not only actually to understand the true meaning of birth, but actually to know how to give birth to ourselves. No matter if we have been born of the flesh, as we have been, and therefore are on a material plane of existence, believing that we are immortal, no matter if that has happened, the problem before us is to give birth to divine science, to our true identity of being. Our true identity of being is that we are an idea of divine science. Now this is exactly the question that has been asked Jesus by Nicodemus, and therefore I will quickly take from the Bible that incidence of Nicodemus and Jesus which is recorded in the Gospel of John. Perhaps you make a note for yourself to read it at home. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, 1 to 13. I'm going to read these verses and interpret them in the light of obstetrics, and then afterwards I want to show the correlative passages from Mrs. Eddy's textbook on scientific obstetrics. The story about Nicodemus runs like this. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, not by day. Nobody should see him, that he is going to discover a new birth. So the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. He already could see something, that he was not the teacher that came out of a Jewish school, out of the Pharisaical school, or out of the Sadducee school, but that he was a teacher that came direct from God, direct from principle. That Jesus was interpreting the divine principle and not the human dogma. And so Nicodemus went on to say, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. So we can see the approach that Nicodemus had was a very good approach at the beginning, that he could see that Jesus was teaching from a quite a different source than human teaching. He came from God. Therefore, he came not from a material matrix, from a matrix of mortality. Nicodemus already could see that there is a matrix of immortality, that God, what was called God at that time, would be able to interpret itself to mortals. Therefore, we can see that Jesus was teaching from God and not out of himself. And this is a point which I want to make very clear, therefore, that in the measure as I try to show this whole subject, I would like to see that nobody feels that he is a student of Marx, that everybody is a student of Christian Science. We should never hear that I am a student of Max Kappeler. Everyone is a student from God, taught from God. And if that which you know doesn't come from God, it's no good. So Nicodemus could see that no man could do these miracles that thou doest except, and now he said it, God be with him. Can you see, first he saw that Jesus came from God. Then he could see that Jesus was with God, or God with him. That sense of Emmanuel, Emmanuel which means God with us. So he said, nobody can do these miracles except Emmanuel. And you see, that was that which actually in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, was prophesied that the Savior would come from a virgin thought, from a pure mother thought, from a pure mother consciousness. Therefore, we have to see that we are Mary, that we have a Mary consciousness, a virgin consciousness, and we have to investigate what a virgin consciousness implies. And therefore, at that time already it was prophesied that the name of the child would be Emmanuel. So actually what we are going to bring forth through a true birth is our sense of being Emmanuel. That's our true stature and fullness of manhood. Immanuel, God with us. Now, can you see what this means? The moment we can substitute the seven synonymous terms for the term God. The moment we do that, we can elaborate already our consciousness and can see, now what does it mean, what the virgin thought can bring forth? When do we have virgin consciousness? When do we have a Mary consciousness? Then, when we see that our nature is Immanuel, God with us, and as we know the seven synonymous terms, we can see Immanuel means therefore our name, means therefore our nature, means there our manhood, means therefore mind with us, spirit with us, soul with us, principle with us, life with us, truth with us, love with us. That's the new baby. That's the new concept of being. The signs of being. That is, must be born, that Immanuel sense. That's the child. What needs to be born is not another mortal that looks a bit better than the old one, that lives a few years longer than the old one. What is being born to us is Immanuel. His name shall be called Immanuel. A consciousness which is at the point of God with us. And now if we know those wonderful seven synonymous terms and the nature of those seven synonymous terms through the ideas characterizing those seven synonymous terms, we are newborn in the nature of God. Then the nature of God is the only reality of being. And that would be participating at the new birth. So, when we have that new name as our present new consciousness, then naturally you could see what that Immanuel would be. That we could see that through Immanuel we are what? We are no more a mortal, but we are God's nature in operation. What is God's nature in operation? Namely, then we can substitute the seven synonymous term. Then I begin to see the new birth is that really that I'm the intelligence of mind, that I'm really the ordered unfoldment of spirit, that I'm actually nothing else but the blessing and sinlessness of soul, that I'm nothing else but the actual operation of the divine principle, that I'm actually nothing else but the exalting, multiplying fullness of life, that I'm nothing else but actually the consciousness of truth, and that I am actually nothing else but really the ever fulfillment of a terrific big plan and design of love. I have given to me a new name, Immanuel. That's my new birth. I'm no more asking who am I mortally, and how can I mortally improve myself? I have now found my new name, my new nature, as Immanuel. Alright, so Nicodemus at least could see that God is with him. Then the story goes on and says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born, some Bible have in brackets, from above, except a man be born from above again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See what he says. If we are not born from above, from the standpoint of the seven synonymous terms, and see ourselves as the ideas of those seven synonymous terms, we can never see the kingdom of God. We can never see our true identity. We can never see the true universe. We can never see harmony. So let's get into that habit of going out from the synonymous terms, which is a completely different method than the metaphysical method, which tries to improve the human so that through improvement of the human we somehow reach the divine. That is the wrong method. It's the method of tilling the soil. Whereas here it was stated quite nicely and clearly, if we come from above, therefore are conscious from the standpoint of the seven synonymous terms, then we see the kingdom of God. We see the kingdom of what? The kingdom of ideas. If we go out from the seven synonymous terms, we will never see anything but ideas. We'll never see people, we will never see mortals, we will never have to deal with people and with mortals. We'll only have to see the ideas and the realm of ideas, the kingdom of God. Therefore, the whole realm of being, the new science of being, will be a science not of mortals and of human people and of peopleanity, but of the calculus of idea, of true Christianity. Then Nicodemus said unto him, but how can a man be born when he is old? It is a question that each one of us could ask. We seem to be no more quite babes, and say, well, how can that be, that I should be born again when I'm already quite of age? And how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? See, he takes up the whole question of reincarnation. Should there be a reincarnation? Is the solution of our mortality there, where we see we will be born again, materially, reincarnated, perhaps on a higher level? The whole question of karma comes up, that we have to go through various stages of mortality, each one going higher and higher in the ladder of being. This is all that false concept, to go again back into matter. Can we go back again into matter? Is that the solution? And naturally, at that time, after Jesus, really, Paul gave the answer already at his time. He said, if a man be in Christ, in Emmanuel, if a man is in Christ, he's a new creature. So he could already indicate where the solution was, that if our consciousness is in the Immanuel state of consciousness, we are a new creature, all things pass away and all things will be made new. So Jesus had to give him an answer to this wrong question, and Jesus answered and said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. He gave him two elements for his rebirth, water and spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Can you see what he shows him? He said, you know, if you don't understand what is water and what is the Spirit, you cannot have the third, the kingdom of God. Now, we know the symbolism now of the Bible, and Mrs. Eddy explains it. Mrs. Eddy says water is a symbol for the elements of mind, capital M, mind. So actually what Jesus said, if you are not born of mind and of spirit, you can never have soul, your identity, the kingdom of God. You will never find your true identity. So to give birth to our true identity, which is at the point of soul, there are two prerequisites. There is the prerequisites of mind and spirit, what we have seen last week very clearly, that if we are not starting with the elements of mind and see all comes from mind, mind alone is the creator, mind alone is the cause, from mind comes everything, mind manifests itself and manifests itself not as mortals, so mind manifests itself only as ideas. And if we don't see spirit and we could see that spirit meant if we don't keep the vision of mind pure, if we don't keep that vision of mind that only knows ideas absolutely separate from any false concept, so that the vision of mind knowing only its own ideas will be our only spirit, our only vision. Except mind and spirit is not in our consciousness, Jesus says, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot see the identity of being. Your true being, your true mission, your true destiny, what you are here for, what is your job to do on this world, you can't see that. It must be born from mind and spirit. When it's born from mind and spirit, your identity is defined and clearly brought out. Can you see how he showed the order of mind, spirit, soul, as Mrs. Eddy would use it in her textbook also? Then Jesus went on and said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And you hear at once the wonderful tone of spirit again, that like produces like, that the flesh can only bring forth a fleshly form, a spirit can only bring forth a spiritual form, like producing like, so that we can see, if we start with the flesh again, we will not solve the question. But if we start with the spirit, we will be able to solve that whole question of birth, and we can give us our spiritual identity.